We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Myron Metcalf covers college basketball for ESPN. Catch him on ESPN Radio. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Myron, what's happening, man? Appreciate the time as always.
Appreciate you, man. I'm the giant interview. Man, that's big.
It is big. But listen, we have a lot to get to on the show today. I do want to start, though, with college basketball because, as you know, college basketball is always in season around these parts. When you look at what's happened at Memphis, there was a lot of turnover. DJ Jeffries, Damian Ball, Musa Cisse ended up leaving as well. But they were able to keep Lester Quinones, and they were able to keep Lanners Nolly, DeAndre Williams, and added a couple of guys around them as well. How would you sort of assess the offseason? And there are two spots. There are two scholarships available, so they could still add. But how would you assess the offseason for Memphis and Penny Hardaway?
Uncertain. I mean, anytime you have that kind of turnover, you know, I think at this point, I think the vision and the hope was that Penny would have sort of a stabilizing nucleus. You know, even if some guys are going pro or even if you had a couple of transfers, that you would still sort of have this momentum. And I think with all the moving parts, I think it's been harder to sustain that. Now, the guys coming back are pretty good. So I think there's still that chance that you have a pretty good group. You have the Timberlake, if he comes and he's good. And so I think there's still reasons to be optimistic. But he's losing guys that I think a couple of years ago, most people thought, okay, these would be the players who were kind of helping him take that next step at this point in his tenure at Memphis. So I would say it's uncertain, but you all are living it. What do you all call it right now?
Well, from a local perspective, we're saying, and look, we said this year, and point guard play killed him at least to start the season, but we're saying he's got to make it in year four because otherwise you run the risk, right? If you keep missing the tournament, Myron, it's like we keep calling you and asking you about Memphis, and to this point they haven't even made a tournament. You know, so at some point you lose relevance. You become DePaul. You become Georgetown. You become UNLV. And I'm telling you, I still think Penny's the guy for the job. But to do that, right, it can't just be about style. It's got to be some substance. And we know substance in college basketball is making the tournament. So from a local standpoint, we're saying, well, you got to do it in year four when you got back Lanners Nolly and DeAndre and those guys. And I'm figuring that's the way you're looking at it from the national perspective, too. Because how many times you going to let us call you, Myron, and ask you about Memphis and they keep missing the damn tournament?
Well, you know, I mean, the Penny rules were different, right? I think everybody knew that he was going to get at least 2 years, probably three,
sure,
before the heat really intensified. But, no, I think certainly you come into this season expecting him to make a tournament, and that feels like a, you know, maybe a make-or-break thing. But I kind of felt that way in past years. Like, yeah. You know, the Tubby Smith thing, the idea there and what happened there was that was just not going to be a good fit. And I think people could see that sort of early on, mm-hmm, right? But going to Penny, it felt like you had everything. You had the perfect fit, familiarity. You had the person who could recruit. Like, you had what Memphis basketball said it had been missing since Cal left, right? So I think to get to this point and to not have that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is surprising when it comes to Penny Hardaway. Because, like, what was the big question about Penny when he made the jump? Yeah, he's a former NBA star and all that stuff, and I think that matters. It was, can he build a winner at this level? It's one thing to do it in high school, AAU. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to be a player at that level. But can you build against the expectations you're going to face at a place like Memphis. And so far, he hasn't done that. So I think it's certainly fair to question and to be feeling like, man, he's got to get it done.
Yeah. One of the things that has sort of plagued Memphis basketball over the last 2 to 3 years, and this is not all, I mean, again, not all of the ills of Memphis basketball do not fall at the feet of Penny Hardaway. That should be said. But one of the things that you've sort of noticed is point guard play. It's been, you know, at times not great. And they found a way last year to sort of figure it out and get through, but that is another question mark going into this season. If it's Alex Lomax, right, is that enough to get you where you want to go? How important is point guard play, you know, at a program like Memphis? Can they find a way to get into the tournament, you know, if it's not, you know, a elite around the country?
And look at the guys who played the national championship. You know, I mean, UCLA had a pretty good one. They got to the Final Four. I don't think it's just point guard play, right, though, at Memphis. It's the idea that one of the greatest point guards we've ever seen hasn't had that point guard play, right? Like this is like a great quarterback coming to a college football team and his quarterback is only completing 49% of his passes. You're like, well, wait a minute. You're that guy. Like, if anything, that position should be locked up. So I don't know if it's going to be enough with Alex. And I think it is a critical position in this league, in this landscape of college basketball. But more than anything, you just need flow and you need rhythm wherever you can get it. And I just don't think they've had that consistently. So I think just the surprising element is you thought that Penny would be able to develop that and lock that up based on his experience. And that has turned out to be, you know, one of the weaknesses for this team, and it could be again next year. And I think if that's the case, everything can unravel with inconsistent point guard play. And I think you saw that in the NCAA tournament with how many teams that maybe you thought would advance, and they struggled largely because of what happened in the backcourt.
Well, I think the bottom line, too, is it's a different league than we thought it was going to be even a couple of years ago. Because if you look at, yes, Houston's the one team that you could say, okay, that's, you know, a talent that you can, comparable talent. If you don't have a little bit better talent than them, and you can pencil them in. And I love what Brown did with Wichita State last year, but, you know, them with Greg Marshall, when we weren't seeing what was beneath the covers, you felt a lot better about that next 3 to 4 than you do right now. And Lord knows with Cincinnati, they're still trying to get back from the Cronin days. Hopefully Wes can do it for them. But I just feel like, Myron, the other part of this is like the league is weaker. And so with the talent that you're recruiting at some point, you know, these high-level recruits, right, the high-level recruiting classes, they turn into expectations that you got to win, especially in a league that's not nearly as strong as we thought it was going to be a couple of years ago. I mean, UConn gone now. This league, Myron, has really gone to a point where Memphis needs to be one or two every year, and if not winning that thing every other year at this point.
Yeah, and I guess I would counter that by saying if you can't be that in this league, then maybe it's not weaker. You know, like maybe you're a part of that, right? Like to me, on paper, clearly there's been an advantage when it comes to talent. But I think Houston, Wichita State, those good Cincy teams, they all played harder than Memphis consistently. I mean, that to me was what you saw with Kelvin Sampson. Like, he gets the most out of those guys. And I think what Isaac Brown did at Wichita State was an incredible example of that, right, just getting guys to play to their potential. And I think that is one of my questions, too, when it comes to Memphis. There were certainly moments where you said, man, if they play like that, they can beat anybody. They played with Houston, and they were right there in a couple of games. You saw them, how good they could be. But can you do that every night? I think that becomes sort of the challenge there is there are other coaches in this league, and Wes is going to be one of them. Make no mistake. Like, Wes is going to get whatever that team can give him, and he's going to start building. Yeah. Can you be a consistent – can you be competitive consistently more than anything? You're going to miss a bunch of shots. You're going to have off nights. Like, that's not something that you can necessarily control in college basketball. But can you guys play hard? I never thought I saw Houston and said they're not playing as hard as they can. I never thought I saw Isaac Brown's Wichita State team after Greg Marshall and thought they're not playing as hard as they can. I definitely had those moments with Memphis and Penny in the past couple of years.
I'll give you offensively, I think the reason I think Penny's not just poised to get to the tournament but to have a breakthrough is because here's where he has been super impressive. He's developed an identity on that defensive side. They've been top five. Last year they were number one over at KenPom, and he gets guys to play hard on that side of the ball. Like, you're not going to be number one in defense in the country and not play hard. So I think offensively is sort of where he's got to figure it out. But I think, Myron, where I give him a ton of credit is he gets high-level recruits – right, to play hard defensively and to the point that you've been top five, number one last season. That to me says, okay, this is a guy that's got an identity, right, that he's now picking and choosing players to sort of fit that. And if he can get the offensive side figured out, and they did, you know, going 14-3 over the second half of the season, you play Houston to one possession twice, a Final Four team. If he can get that side figured out, Myron, it's not just making the tournament, it feels like, next year. I think he's breaking through. Because the one thing, they'll play some defense, Myron. They will play some D.
They've been great. No, they've been great on that side of the ball. Yep. But then becomes the challenge is, like, then it's easier offensively, right? Because you don't have to be this great offensive team.
But, it
but
should
I,
be.
But
I'm
I
with
think
you.
You've got to be just be. As competitive
sure.
on that side of the ball. You've got to be just as tenacious on that side of the ball. You've got to get those extra rebounds. You've got to get those second chance points. You've got to find good shots.
Yeah,
and if you're not going to be this great three-point shooting team, you got to be a team that's just going to be a bunch of dogs around the rim. Like, you can win that way in college basketball yeah. with a good defense. So that, to me, is my thing when you talk about how hard they're playing.
On that offense.
Houston, every single possession, offense, defense, they're coming. Every single play. Yeah. And I think that, to me, was what separated them. And I think Isaac Brown got Wichita State to develop that attitude as well. I didn't see that as consistently when it came to Memphis. And I think that, to me, is going to be the thing you have to unlock, is can you get these guys, Lester and everybody else, the recruits coming in, the transfers, can you get everybody to develop that sort of attitude? Because I think just playing hard on both sides of the ball consistently in this league, you can be competitive. Houston has proven that. Cincinnati has proven that. Wichita State has proven that. Now Memphis has to prove that.
We are, of course, talking to Myron Metcalf. He's, of course, covered college basketball for ESPN. We just had a draft here on the show, like a little bit of a next 5 years draft, programs, franchises, athletes, whatever. My picks, Myron, were Kansas City Chiefs, Alabama football, Patrick Mahomes. I don't think there's any way that I lose this draft, but and I think you have to question what everybody else on the show was doing. But Brad, our producer, drafted with his first overall pick, Texas basketball, under Chris Beard. What do you make of that pick for Brad over the next 5 years?
I think he'll look smart, maybe. I mean, I think Texas will be very good with Chris Beard. It's not easy to win in Lubbock, Texas. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to build a winner. And he was getting NBA talent to come to Lubbock, made it all the way to the Final Four, national championship game. He's always had good teams. Even with all the moving parts last year, they were good. Now he goes to a place like Texas with that brand name, the fact that that's his dream job, the thing that he always wanted. He's got a great staff. So I think he'll look pretty smart. I mean, you're going to look at who Shaka had. Like, Shaka had the chance to win big there. He had a chance to do more. He just didn't do it and didn't do it in the tournament. And I think Chris Beard will get that same talent, if not more. He'll hit Houston and Dallas. He'll get even some of the guys from around the country. And I think Texas will be a powerhouse. And I wouldn't be surprised if they won a national championship in the next 4 to 5 years with Chris Beard.
Wow. Wow.
I'm going to flip the script on you, Myron. Is Aaron Rodgers coming back to Green Bay? And tell me, as a Bears fan, I'm certainly hoping he's gone. I get Minnesota fans, y'all have had a little bit more success than us, but I would think the same thing. You think he's gone?
Yeah, I mean, I'm born and raised in Milwaukee, so yep. I mean, I know that franchise well. I don't know how you put it back together. So I mean, I just don't. To me, what'll happen is we'll get to June 2nd, which is when all the dead cap money drops, and they'll trade him because, like, who's gonna budge? You've got a Packers executive who's essentially saying, let me go get a cornerback. Let me go get everything that Aaron is not asking for and build this team in my image. And you got Aaron Rodgers being like, listen, dude, I got a Super Bowl. I just took you to the NFC Championship game. I'm an MVP. If that's how you treat me, I don't want any part of it. I just think there's too many egos involved at this point. And I think Aaron's going to force his way out. I don't think he'll be the quarterback in Green Bay next year.
And then I guess it sort of creates like –
and I hope you're right.
Because it seems like realistically there are only two places, at least on draft night, there were really only two places that were being entertained, and that was Denver and Vegas. And you know I'm a Vegas fan, and my whole thing is if you're the Raiders and you're already in a division with Patrick Mahomes and you see Justin Herbert coming, I mean, they beat you last year. You know how great he's going to be. How can you sit by – and watch the only division rival right now that you might be able to say you're better than go out and acquire Aaron Rodgers? Like, how do you do that Don't you have to do that? If it comes down to you or Denver, don't you have to pay the price?
You got to do something. Yeah, I mean, you better not let them get him. Because here's the thing about, like, Aaron Rodgers. Let's say he's got three more good years, three more elite years. If you can get to a Super Bowl during that stretch, your legacy is set. You know, like, this to me is not an NFL where everybody's building toward the future. Everybody's always talking about the future. People get fired long before the future. You can't think like that in the NFL. So if I'm the Raiders, if I'm Denver, 49ers, I'm putting everything out there and saying, let me have that guy. Because there are only, what, two quarterbacks maybe in this league that you can say are better than Aaron Rodgers? What, Mahomes, Brady at his best? You're talking about a top three quarterback. You go all in on him, hope he's the missing piece, and you figure out the rest later on. But I would trade everything for Aaron Rodgers unless I had Russell Wilson. There's no team in this league, and maybe Tom Brady, obviously, with Tampa Bay. No team in this league, to me, should be out of the trade conversation when it comes to Aaron Rodgers.
If you, with our little exercise there, would you go with a front runner like John did and go ahead and take Alabama or the KC Chiefs over the next 5 years? Or would you go more along Brad my style and you find an up-and-comer that you like, Brad taking that Texas team? I took the Miami Dolphins, Myron, because I love what they're doing. I love the amount of first-round picks they've knocked over the next couple of years. So in case Tua doesn't work, who for you would you take in terms of the next 5 years? Franchise, college program, whatever it is.
I mean, I think you picked the Dolphins because you like disappointment.
I love a black GM. I love Chris Greer. Man, I love a brother as GM. Man, he's going to continue to do well, him and Brian Flores.
It was an emotional pick.
But that ain't the only reason. They were 10-6 last year, and they got all the picks, brother.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I have to see it to believe it with them actually fulfilling their potential. I do like Brian Flores, and let's see if Tua develops. But
okay.
Alabama, is a smart pick. I would go with a team like that. I mean, they're going to keep winning. They'll keep getting the best talent. They're going to have the best chance, I think, to win a national championship.
Don't tell him that, Myron.
Y'all doing the safety dance around here.
I mean,
safe picks.
That's you got to pick them. I mean, they have that kind of access to that talent. I think they're in the mix. I would say, though, how about this?
Give us one off the radar. Yeah.
New York Knicks. How about that?
Good pick.
New York Knicks, the cap room they have. You can get Devin Booker. You can go out and add another superstar in the next couple of years. R.J. Barrett develops into potentially an all-star.
Big market.
Julius Randle's already there. You got guys like Quickly coming off the bench. New York Knicks might be one guy away from being a really competitive team in the NBA and having a chance.
Tibbs going to burn them out. He's going to burn them out before it's all done, just like he did with the Bulls.
But you know what? He's got young dudes. They're different. That's a different breed. Julius Randle leading that team as a young dude is a lot different than Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, I love him.
I like Karl Anthony Towns. He's not built like Julius.
No, sir.
So they're following Julius, and that lines up with Tibbs, man. I picked the Knicks, I think.
What about the Grizzlies, Myron?
Oh, I love Ja, man. Here's my problem with – I don't know if I should say this in Memphis, right? I don't trust any young superstar – in the NBA staying where they are just because of what we've seen so far.
That's
right?
Fair.
Like,
yes.
I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years, but I'll tell you this. All of these guys can force their way out, and there's nothing you can do about it as an NBA team if that's a star with a lot of value. So I don't know. I mean, if Ja Morant's there, clearly you can always add some good pieces, and he's a superstar. I hope he gets into the play-in, and I hope he surprises the world, and I hope he wins two games and they get into the playoffs.
That would be that'd be fun. There is no doubt about that. Hey, Myron, man,
you're
great
best,
stuff
brother.
As always,
you, man.
We appreciate the time.
Thank you. Thank you all.